Morning. Couple of announcements today. Agenda items need to be in by December 1st, if you have any to add to the agenda for the annual meeting. Today's collection will be for the Western Mission Fund. Men's Bible study, Tom's Wednesday, 7:30. Friday Bible study here at the church, 7 o'clock. And the next two Sundays, Sunday school will be practicing the Christmas program, so the adult Bible study will be at 10, but it'll probably be in the fellowship hall, and service at 11. Any prayer requests?
I just want to say thank you. I just noticed this morning those flowers are from you, and they're beautiful, and thank you for everything.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you to everybody that came and supported us yesterday. Any prayer requests or any other announcements? Ryan will read the psalm, and Tom will bring the prayer, read the prayer, or say the prayer, and bring us a sermon. And we'll start.
Thank you. Today's Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established, so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established from the old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever.
Let's open in a word of prayer. Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, another day of grace. Father, we come to you this day, which is frigid outside and warm in here. Warm with hearts of the knowledge of a Savior who saves, a God who grants grace, and a Holy Spirit that guides. Father, you ask us to pray unceasingly, to have a conversation with you and to praise you for what you're doing. And at the same time, where we fail, to ask for help. We bring our petitions to you because we are needful. We are needy creatures. We are broken. We constantly rely on that Spirit because without it we have no hope. Without it we have no ability to love. Without it we seek you less. But with it, we have the power of God unto salvation.
We have the ability to ask with the expectation of whatever comes from your hands are good gifts. Whatever will you have, whatever answer you give, will be the right one. Our prayer today is to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth and glorify you through your word. By reading your word and discerning it according to your will and way. And the only way that's possible is through your spirit. And we ask for that today. We ask for blessings on the bride of Christ that are here. Uplift their hearts so that they can have joy unspeakable and a peace that passes understanding, where they can go in and out and find green pasture, where they can glory in your word and magnify it above your name. Father, we thank you for this congregation. We thank you for the gifts that you've given them. We thank you for the hope that they have. We thank you for the convictions that you've put upon them. And we thank you for the ability, through that Spirit, to die daily to our will, to our flesh, to the influence of the world and the devil. We ask that we would look up to you in hope of a resurrected body with our Savior in heaven. We ask for a picture, a nugget of truth that will sustain us through millennia. We ask for changed hearts and the ones who have not been changed. We ask for confidence and boldness to come to your throne with a humble heart and an understanding that we do not deserve your grace. We thank you for faith. And we thank you for your Son. And we thank you that we are now slaves to righteousness through the changing and the regenerated heart. And when we fall into sin, you give us the ability to repent and to change and to know what the work of the cross has done. That our sins are put on your Son, and we have received his pure life. Father, the prayer that you taught us, that is so beautiful, can we just say it with meaning? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue.
Yeah.
If we can take our Bibles and turn to the 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 1 to 10. Very familiar. May the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, grant you peace this hour of worship through that indwelling Holy Spirit. Amen. I'll read this in Jesus' name. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. A few points on this text that I would like to bring forth or try to bring forth in this few minutes. Number one, there's a mystery in the revelations of Paul he's receiving from God. There's a mystery. And the Gentile nation, which are all non-Jew nations, will be part of the called to provoke the nation of the Jews to repent and change. The remnant of Jews will repent and be saved, no different than the remnant of Gentiles from all nations. Number two, Paul could not express anything he saw in the third heaven, or he would be exalted and worshipped, which he could not bear because God only is to be lifted up. Christ is the one that is preeminent. God used the devil to send a messenger of Satan to buffet him, a thorn in the flesh to keep Paul, who is called not to look at himself, no higher than other people. Those are the points I'm trying to bring across through this word, and hopefully through that spirit we can do that. There was a problem in Corinth. Paul was speaking to a church, and that basically the church had been influenced by these teachers who liked to praise themselves with many words, and they knew how to speak. They were good speakers. But they were boasting in themselves. And they're boasting in what they say, and they boasted in what they heard, and they boasted in basically the praise of men. And there was lots of boasting. And what was happening in the church was there was people being influenced by these teachings. And Paul was concerned because he had a thorn in the flesh that would keep him from boasting. Because he had to be humble because of where he came from, being the Pharisee of Pharisees. He recognized that this was part of him. And God, by giving him a thorn in the flesh, was able to prevent him from boasting. And when you see in the 11th chapter him giving his resume, he's only doing that because he's saying to the people in Corinth, you're listening to these people who are boasting about themselves. And I'll give you my resume, not to boast, but so that you understand how you have to be humble. And he shared his resume for that reason and that reason only. So we have here Paul. When we start this text, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Paul, being where he was taught by Gamaliel, he understood the Old Testament. He understood the Proverbs. He read them. Proverbs 27, 2. Comes to mind. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thy own lips. Paul knew this. But there was people in the church that were preaching and praising themselves. So Paul understood, the only praises I can get is from God. Because he's not a respecter of persons. So the only possible praise I can get is from God. And that's the praise that I will seek. I will not glean praises. I will not bring honor to myself. Paul may have known John in the Gospel of John 8:24. Sorry, 8:54. I can't read my own writing. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Jesus is saying, if I honor myself. Paul understood this through that Spirit. So we have the Proverb and John. We also have in 1 Corinthians, a long explanation of what was happening in Corinth. And I'll read from the 19th verse, 1 Corinthians 19 to 31. I could have chosen a few so I don't have to read so long, but it all ties into the fact that there was an issue in Corinth with people boasting, and it was influencing the church that Paul loved. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign. Why is that? Because in the Old Testament, they received many signs. Waters parted, a cloud, fire. They saw signs. They were used to signs. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. Godly wisdom? No. They seek after worldly wisdom. The influences of the world, the flesh, and the devil. The pat on the back, the praises of men. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block. He's not the king that we want. He doesn't look like a king to me. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. How could they believe in Christ? That's just nonsense. Paul knew this because he preached against Christ. Why are you kicking against the pricks? He was apprehended by God. He understood. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Notice what it says here. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, the spiritual seed of Abraham, Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Why? Because they're being influenced by men. They love the praises of men. And they love to hear themselves talk. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Paul knew this. I am not going to boast, and if I boast, it's going to be in my infirmities. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. The wisdom of God to make the right choices. The righteousness of God that was imputed on resurrection, the resurrected day, where you receive the imputed righteousness of Christ because you believe in the work of the cross. And sanctification, you are set apart from the world, the flesh, and the devil to do more in his kingdom. You are different than the world. You have the new man who has dominion over the old man. And redemption, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That according as it is written, he hath gloried, let him glory in the Lord. Paul knew this. So what is he saying here? 1:2-7. He talks in the third person. He's talking about himself. He's talking in the third person. Why is that? Because he doesn't want to glory. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. He's speaking of himself. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. But God knows. God knows me. Such a one caught up into the third heaven. What's the third heaven? That's where God dwells and Jesus dwells. Can you imagine this revelation? Can you picture this in your mind? You've been caught up to the third heaven. You see God. There's a revelation there for you. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Why? Why would Paul say this? Why would this vision happen? He can't speak of it because it's unlawful for him to utter. And believe me, he was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He knows the law. Because if he spoke of this revelation, he would be glorified because he knows what the revelation is. And he would have disciples following Paul. that would be not looking to Christ. He could not speak of this revelation. Of such a one will I glory. Of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. I will glory in my infirmities, in my reproaches, in necessities and persecutions and distresses. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. Why? Because he knew the proverb. He understood that you can't glorify yourself. Glory cannot be in a man that approaches God. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure. That was the problem. God knew if he spoke of this revelation, he'd be exalted above measure. So he didn't speak of it. There was a thorn in the flesh. Notice it says a thorn in the flesh. It doesn't say of the flesh. There is a difference. In the flesh. What does Luther say about the thorn in the flesh? In his writings, Luther says, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. And must this mighty apostle, O merciful God, be subject to trials, lest he exalt himself because of his great revelations? Then how should others, how should such infirm beings as we be free from self-exaltation?" What's Luther saying? He's saying, this is Apostle Paul who got this revelation. And he was concerned about having followers and being exalted above measure, let alone me or anybody else who's not an apostle. It's much more easier for us to be exalted. So he's saying, many teachers have explained Paul's thorn to be the temptations of the flesh. The Latin text is responsible for this interpretation. It reads stimulus carnis, a spear or thorn for the flesh. Yet that rendering does not do justice to the words. Paul is not in the habit of terming temptations of the flesh thorns. The thorn stands rather for something painful and afflicting. In a thorn of the flesh, the thought is not of an instrumentality whereby the flesh stings, but of something that stings the flesh. The Greek text impels us to the thought of a thorn for the flesh, or a thorn upon or in the flesh. The idea is much like the German proverb, "The clog is bound to a dog's neck." We may imagine Paul expressing himself as a clog or to a dog's neck, as a ring in a bear's nose, as a bit in a horse's mouth, or as a gag in the mouth of a swine, in order to restrain them from running, biting, and general mischief. So is my thorn a clog to my body, lest I exalt myself. This thorn in the flesh given by Satan and allowed by God was so Paul could remain humble and not be exalted above measure. Something physical. Something that you would look at and you'd go, "I don't really look up to that guy. He wasn't exactly the best orator." This is the thorn in the flesh they're speaking of. If you read in Judges, in the Old Testament, chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, this is the angel rebuking the people. "And the angel of the Lord came unto Gilgal to Bochim, and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and have brought you unto the land which I sware unto your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, But ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. There's the Old Testament rendering of the thorns. Okay. So you, because God knows what will allow Paul to be exalted, he's going to prevent him from being exalted by allowing Satan to give him a thorn in the flesh, so that his word can remain pure, holy, and that Paul can stay on the path and fight the good fight. So we have the thorn in the flesh here. And it says, lest I be exalted above all measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Okay, there's the answer to the question. If it's a sin, and you pray three times to the Lord that it be forgiven, he would forgive you. He would forgive you the first time. Because God would be a hypocrite not to. He sent his son to die and pay for your sins. It's not sin. It's a thorn. It's so that you will remain humble. So that I will remain humble. So that I stay on the path and fight the good fight. It's to help us. He's allowing this thorn for a reason, so that we're not of the world. We're not partakers of the ideologies of the world, but we fight against it. We're not of the flesh, but we fight against the flesh. We're not of Satan, we fight against Satan. So he will put things in our way so that we stay humble. How many people say, I am humble? By saying it, you're not. It's impossible to say I'm humble. So God has to put a thorn to keep you humble. Why does he do that? Because he's a jealous God, and he's changed your heart, and he's regenerated you so that you will stay on the path, and you will move in his kingdom, and you will produce fruit. Because he has to present the bride pure, holy, and blameless to the Son. So we have this thorn in the flesh that was really a gift to keep him humble. Paul is also telling us different revelations in his writings. He's teaching us what the change happens in us when somebody is changed from darkness to light. This is another mystery. How does that happen? Ephesians 1. This is going on a different tangent, but it's basically a mystery and a revelation of Paul's. Ephesians 1:17 to 2:10, and I'll read it quickly. That the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You'll have the spirit of wisdom, you'll have revelation to know who he is, him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, why he called you in the first place before the foundation of the world, and to what riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. Who are the usward? The elect, the bride, the called, the spiritual seed of Abraham. Who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion. Why is he far above? Because he's over all. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is the one to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all that things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you, that's you and me, he hath quickened who were dead in our trespasses and sins. Dead. A dead man can't seek after God. No one seeks after God. No, not one. You have to be quickened. You have to have the Holy Spirit. Wherein in times past he walked according to the course of this world, you were influenced by the prince and the power of the air, Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time. Notice it says, all had our conversations in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God showed up. But God, who was rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, and we didn't deserve it. And that broke us. Even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us, made us alive together with Christ, brother and sister with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not a gift, the gift. The necessary gift to be saved. The only gift. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, the author and finisher, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, before the foundation of the world, that we should walk in them. God is doing this. First Peter 1:2. And why do I go to 1 Peter 1:2? The confusion of Peter, or the confusion of who is Peter speaking to? Who is he writing to? The book of Peter 1 and 2 is he's writing to the elect. Let's remember that. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. The elect, the chosen, the called, the bride. That's who he's speaking to. 2 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a servant of an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. They have faith. Grace had to come first. They had to have broken and lowly, contrite hearts. Grace entered. Faith began. With us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Who is he speaking to? The elect. Chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, the elect, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The usward will come to repentance. Why? Because you're going to have a thorn in the flesh. You're going to have an object that changes you. You're going to have something that makes you move. Because God is in charge. This is the mysteries of what revelations Paul is having. You will find in your walk with Christ, and many of you have been Christian a lot longer than me, that you have done things that you wish you'd never have done. But God put a tree in front of you, on the front of you, and he put a tree in the side and the other side, and you had to turn backwards because you had one option. And why does he do that? Because you're his. And he will have glory through you. You are the hands and feet of Christ. And you will produce much fruit. Because he's ordained it. We are called. And you notice the verse that is preached many times. Romans. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Why do you love God? Because of what he's done for you. Your sins are paid for. They're removed as far as the east from the west. And because he loved you first, before the foundation of the world. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. To them who are called? No. For them who are the called, the chosen of God, according to his purpose. The mysteries of the revelation of Paul. We can be thankful on this day that Paul did not utter that revelation. Because if he would have uttered that revelation, there's a good chance it would be not 66 books in the Bible. Because he would have been glorified in himself. God prevented that through the allowing the thorn in the flesh, which he asked to be removed 3 times, and which God said no. What did God say? My grace is sufficient for thee. Let's read that. That's an important verse. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I don't have a red letter Bible, but I'm guaranteeing you that's God talking. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? So that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The Holy Spirit will rest upon me and give me guidance and direction. Through all my infirmities, through all my trials, through all the things that I go through, he will direct me and guide me and make me understand that the new man has dominion over the old. The flesh is crucified with Christ as the old man is. Although we recognize as Christians, we have to die daily to our thoughts, our ideas, and our will. Because Jesus came to save sinners. And Paul said, in whom I am chief. We recognize what the flesh influences us to do. We recognize what the old man influences us to do. and we recognize what the world and the devil influence us to do. So we need to cut that out. We can be thankful that we have grace, we have faith, and we have been justified by the blood of the cross, and we are continuously being set apart from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And if the world doesn't hate you, it will, because you are his. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have taken us out of darkness and made us into your magnificent light. We thank you that you allow the light of Christ to shine through us. We thank you that you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, are able to bring forth fruit in this clay vessel. We are thankful that your Son does all in all, that he has taken away all our sin through the blood of the cross, and he has set us apart in a world that hates us. But he has set us up so that we will be in glory with him. And we will be there to see his glory. And we will be there with all the saints as the bride of Christ to be presented. Thank you, Father, for just blessing us and keeping us. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord lift this countenance upon us and be gracious unto us. Lord, may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord lift this countenance upon us and give us grace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's close with 5.